Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
On the radio.
And online.
The internet.
Yes, that is.
Yeah, that place as well.
That is what online is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Megan.
And I'm Alice.
And we play video games.
Yeah.
That's the show. Goodbye.
Yeah.
So we do play video games, and we talk about video games when we can.
Yes.
And we enjoy them?
I do.
Sometimes I do.
Yeah, true.
Sometimes I just don't have a whole lot of concentration for video games.
That's legit. I like to watch videos on video games.
And sometimes I like just doing a sampler plate of what I got to see what grabs my attention.
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah, so... That's what I did, was a charcuterie board.
Of video games.
Of video games.
Okay.
So, yes, I went through what I had on my streaming services, and I forgot that I had this game that was free when I very first started.
Uh-huh.
It's Tokyo Jungle.
Okay.
From 2012.
Okay. There's nothing I know. I don't know anything. I've heard the name, but...
I see more people playing it now. I don't know why it seems to be coming back in a way.
Okay, it's from what, 2012?
From 2012.
Okay.
It is a survival action game. It combines stealth.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a sort of role-playing game aspect to it where you do level up.
Okay.
Essentially, the plot line is all the humans in Tokyo have disappeared. Which means the animals have risen up and taken over the entire cityscape. So we have zoo animals, which is how we get tigers, bears, hyenas, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And we have house pets, such as a Pomeranian, some beagles, we got house cats, rabbits, fancy rabbits.
Okay.
And the whole purpose is to survive through the Tokyo jungle and get stronger, procreate, make a new generation, and get further in the story with more stronger new generations.
Animals? Yes. Okay, so it's kind of like, is there spore elements, I guess?
Offspring get some of the attributes that you gained. You don't really gain a whole
like
lot in the
cats, like in dogs.
I guess so.
Like where, yeah, okay. Okay.
Just like the strengths and everything that you've earned.
Yeah.
And more points to unlock further patterns of your animal and costumes. Like, you can dress your animals up to be ridiculous looking.
Is it a 3D game?
It is sort of a 3D game, and it is a realistic looking game.
Okay. Interesting.
Which is really...
Yeah.
We have this perfectly normal Saika deer with heart glasses that you discovered while eating mushrooms.
Okay. Nope. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So... There is a story mode to this ridiculous game.
Nice.
And the whole story mode is to figure out what happened to the humans and to get through different parts of...
The area, I guess the map.
So one of the first things you get to play as is the Pomeranian.
Okay.
You eventually get a Pomeranian that's so strong that you have a pack of Pomeranians that are just running the streets of Tokyo.
Amazing.
It is pretty good.
Yeah.
And... You get your choice of either having a predator animal or a prey animal.
Okay.
So, as a predator animal, you can go and hunt and destroy other animals and eat them to make sure that you have energy and don't die.
Okay.
As a prey animal, you have to hide from the predator animals and eat plants and not die.
Okay.
And hide in the tall grass.
All right. Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah. So... It's pretty much as simple as that.
What are some of, like, the prey, like, is Pomeranian is not prey?
Pomeranian, despite its size, is a predator animal.
Okay.
You can go after the rabbits, you can go after birds, you can go after anything that you happen to be able to take down.
Like, does it have to be smaller than you?
No.
Okay.
If you can manage somehow to get something bigger than you to succumb to your tiny Pomeranian teeth, mm-hmm. you can eat them and get stronger. And rise up in the ranks. And sometimes you have to get a certain rank in order to attract a mate.
Okay.
In order to get your next generation of terrible, vicious Pomeranians.
All right. Okay.
So it's a very simple game. All your animals last 15 years. They go by very quickly. They're like 15 minutes to get through 15 years.
Okay.
So You have to go and mark your territory.
So 1 minute is a year?
Something like that. You can see your years ticking by at the top. There's no There is sort of a night and day cycle, but not really.
Yeah, I mean, it would be super fast. It's,
yeah, these are not long rounds to get your stuff done.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to go and mark your territory, hunt a certain amount of other animals to rank up, attract that mate, and find a nest in order to make more animals.
Okay.
So it's as easy as that. And then I discovered, playing as a prey animal, I can actually attack other things and get extra points. However, I am easily overwhelmed by things that want to attack me back.
Okay, like?
Anything. I went after rabbits, and two other rabbits came after me.
Oh, man. So they ganged up on you?
They ganged up on me and got me as a deer.
Oh, no. So you're, like, quite a bit bigger, and they got you. They took you down.
Yeah. Like, I can be vicious if I want, but I have to be more, you know, tactical about it.
Yeah.
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 So you're not defenseless as a prey beast.
Okay. Yeah. Like, so. When you're a prey, like, do other animals just randomly help you sometimes?
No.
Is that? No. Okay.
No. I've gotten no assistance from other animals.
Okay. Okay.
Other than to have them assist their fellow animals that I have accidentally kicked in the face.
Oh, okay.
By accidentally, I mean I did it on purpose and didn't realize that they would actually come after me.
Oh, if you did,
what? Because I thought I was bigger and meaner.
So you just like aggravated things because you thought you were okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're like, wait, is this when you were like the deer?
This is when I was the deer.
Okay, so it's still like a prey animal though, I guess.
Yeah, and there are packs of other animals that if they outnumber you, they will take you down, because a Pomeranian stands no chance against a pack of beagles. I will tell you that much.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, they're bigger, aren't they?
They are bigger. That's kind of the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Bigger like, than me.
Yeah, unless you have like maybe double the amount of Pomeranians to their... beagles.
I think my mate will actually help me fight things if I so had
yeah
a mate to do that.
Okay.
But
how do you find a mate? Like, do you just find other animals in the world?
Once you mark all your territory spots.
Oh my god. Wow.
Then one will appear.
Oh.
And they get ranked as well.
Randomly spots.
You get either a desperate one, an average one, or an exceptional one, depending on how good your score has been.
Interesting.
Yes.
Oh. What was the first one?
Desperate.
Yeah, that's a little sad.
It is a little sad.
Yeah.
So, get good at the game. Be the best Pomeranian you can be.
Be the best creature you can be.
Be the best creature you can be. So, that was Tokyo Jungle. I got that as one of the free games that I could get on my PlayStation when I first got my PlayStation.
Okay. That is very interesting.
And you know what? For a free game, I'm not disappointed. I've definitely played worse. Like,
No, that sounds like there's like stuff to it at least, right?
Right.
Yeah.
The other one I tried playing because it showed up on my streaming service was Loco Roco and Loco Roco 2.
Oh yeah.
So I am having fun with that one.
How, like, so those are games for the PSP originally, right?
Yes. So they did manage to port it. It is fun and playable.
Okay.
And I think on the PSP, I think the big thing was that you had to tilt it to make it go.
Yes, yes. Because I feel it's sort of like a physics liquid game to an extent.
Yeah, so you are playing as Loco Roco. You eat plants to make yourself bigger. You can split yourself into smaller, separate versions of you to get through smaller spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And then rejoin. It's got a bit of that puzzle aspect to it. Was Pikiniku not like this? In a way?
A little. Like, there's definitely a puzzle. Yeah. Like, I could say there's definitely similarities, especially with, like, there's a limited color palette sort of thing, and there's simple shapes.
Yeah, so it's got that sort of paper craft look to it that was popular back then. I guess it's still kind of popular now with some simple games. But this was a big deal in 2012 that you had this physics-based game, because they didn't have a whole lot of physics-based games like this. I feel, at that time. It wasn't played with nearly as much. This is about the time when, I guess, DS was out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
One of the DSs or something.
Yeah, so. Loco Roco, I get to check it out. I'm going to play a bit more of that because it's a fun little puzzle game, and I didn't get very far in it until I had to put it down to pick up one of the last games on my little charcuterie board. of games from this week.
Okay, yeah.
So this last one, I spent quite a while on. It's a lot more difficult. It is arguably more forgiving because it doesn't put you right at the very beginning of a level when you die. But I'm talking Hotline Miami. I'm playing the first one.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is another game from 2012. You said this was very much like Angerfoot, which you had suggested to me a while back. And it is, except it's a top-down.
It's just like Angerfoot. Yeah, it, like, I would assume, yeah, because Angerfoot's from this year or last year or from, a couple years ago.
Well, it's being released in an expanded full version next year, but it's available free and on beta or pay-as-you-want on itch.io.
Right, yeah.
The original.
Which is, like, very, it's similar, but it's a first-person situation, like a first-person 3D, which this is like super pixel.
Yeah, this is pixel top-down, and I, arguably harder.
Yeah, I have no idea. I've played neither of them.
So Angerfoot, you get the same weapons each time. You have the AI is predictable, but it's not going to throw you off in any sort of way. Hotline Miami is like, no, we're going to change up the weapons each and every single time, and the AI is going to be wonky. You may survive for several minutes, or you may survive not at all, because somebody walked out of a room that wasn't walking out of a room the last 10 times you were in this puzzle.
And then just, yeah, shoot you in the face.
Yes, and you'll
is
have...
Every time you die, do you get a new weapon? Is that what happens?
New weapons spawn in. Sometimes they'll be the same, but they'll have like a randomly selected assortment of weapons that you can pick up along the way. Okay. They are not the same.
Yeah.
Sometimes the people you're facing off against will spawn different weapons as well. So for the first 10 times, somebody may have had a bat. All of a sudden, they're armed with a gun.
Yeah. Oh. So, oh, Megan. And so wait. Okay. We'll start off, like, what is this game about, I guess?
So this game, you are playing as a character known as Jacket.
Yes.
Jacket doesn't speak.
Jacket has the rooster head, yeah?
Yes. Richard, as it's known.
Yeah, so, yes. Like, they have the... They, like, I guess at certain points, there's, like... Obviously, the more action-y part is you overhead smashing and murdering people. But there is, like, dialogue, right, with characters, like, sort of, like...
So
scenes that, like, RPG-esque, right, where it pops up and the character head talks sort of thing.
So that is how you get your exposition. You start off with the rooster head named Richard, the horse Don Juan, and
I forget the other one.
I do also forget the other one. Anyway, the other one we won't worry about right now.
Like snake, cat, I don't remember.
Pig. I think it's pig.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
So they will tell you, like, oh, you have forgotten us. We've met before. Why don't we go back into the story and find out what's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
And you start off with the rooster mask.
Yeah.
Which gives you no power-ups at all.
Right, they're different power. Yeah.
So as you go along, you'll gain more masks that you can take with you at the beginning of a level. You cannot switch your masks out at all once you have picked it.
Okay.
And each mask that you get, aside from the chicken, does give you better things to do. There was the tiger one that gives you insight into secrets that are in different rooms.
Okay. So you can sort of like find stuff easier or see stuff.
Yes. But I chose the horse mask, Don Juan.
Okay.
Because it lets me open the doors and kill people with doors.
Oh, like just sort of smack them with the doors and they're dead.
Yes.
Interesting.
Which makes things a lot easier. I've tricked people into walking past the door and just smacking them, walking out, watching the person behind them walk by, smacking them with the door and walking out. And is an effective tool if you are a chicken like me.
Well, I mean, it's, yeah. Like, I guess there is time. Like, do you get points for time? How fast you go?
There are points for time.
Yeah.
But I'm not getting those points for time.
Well, I am just like, you know. Like, it's fine. Especially if you've never played it before. And especially if it decides to be like, here's a gun now.
Good luck with that.
Well, the thing is, I guess, with the, like, you can die, like, really fast, right? Like, and just go down in one hit, and you're like, okay.
That's the thing. You go down in one hit, and the enemies go down. You should, might take a hit or two, but they're just as frail as you, and you're just as frail as them. So, there is...
like, I guess, yeah.
You have to go as fast and as strategic as you possibly can to not get hit.
Yeah, I do like that it's like you have to go fast, but also you have to be smart about it.
Yeah.
Like, so. Yeah, no mistakes. Also, nobody changed what they were doing the last five times I did this, please.
So you do get your missions through an answering machine, an old-timey brown answering machine with the mini cassettes. There are places you can go to get the story furthered, where like a convenience store, a bar, a record store, and I think it's the same person manning each one. It's always this redheaded guy.
Okay.
I don't know his name. And he's like, oh man, your life's rough. Here's some stuff on the house. Good luck.
Okay.
And I don't know what that does for me, because I don't know if I can
use items at all. Yeah.
I just think they're there for color.
Or, maybe they're like plot items? I don't know.
So, Hotline Miami, you get sent on missions to go and take out the mafia. That's what these guys are.
Okay.
The Russian mafia? They're all dressed in white suits. They all remind me of like Devin Townsend when he was wearing his white suit. I know he wears
okay.
one. They're all bald.
Yes. Okay. That's why. Okay.
They're all the same NPC.
That's interesting. So, I wonder if in the second game there's different NPCs.
Which I actually do think I have the second game somewhere.
Like, I don't know if it's better. I've heard good things about it regardless.
It is fun. It is violent. It is not for kids. None of these are for kids. And if you let your children play these games, shame on you.
Okay.
Shame.
No.
But that was my charcuterie board for the week of games that I have played.
That was two.
That was three. Okay. Tokyo Jungle, Loco Roco.
Oh, right. Loco Roco. I forgot even we talked. Okay. Yeah, okay, well, I played the new Monkey Island. Return to Monkey Island.
Which came out on Talk Like a Pirate Day, guys.
Yeah, they did that on purpose. I'm a big fan of Monkey Island. It was one of the first games I ever played. I guess The Secret of Monkey Island, and then Monkey Island 2, LeChuck's Revenge. I played the second one way more just because the first one was glitched, and at a certain point it would freeze and we never actually were able to like hang out at Monkey Island. Eventually it happened though, but it was very sad.
You do know what the ending of the second one is, because I think it was...
I know the ending of all. I've played all the games.
Yes,
now I've played... Yes, absolutely. No, like eventually we got it fixed, but no, I've played all of them. Which was, because I'm a fan of these games. I enjoy these games. They're point and clicks. They're very funny. They're very tongue-in-cheek. This one, I don't want to say it was fan service-y, but at the same time, I know it was sort of like, I don't want to say last hurrah, because, you know, the fact that we even got another Monkey Island was kind of bizarre. Like, the other Monkey Island that came out, I don't know, 2010 early. It's some, and which I also liked. I'm not gonna say I didn't like it. I've liked all the Monkey Islands.
That's the one with the really beautiful illustration animation, right?
Nope, that's the third Monkey Island. Megan, I'm talking about the fifth, Tales of Monkey Island.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. No, just like there's so technically at this point there are five Monkey Islands. So, Secret of Monkey Island, Monkey Island 2, LeChuck's Revenge, the one that you were talking about, I forget. And then Escape from Monkey Island, and then Tales of Monkey Island, and then Return to Monkey Island.
Right, because I forgot they were one of those Tales of...
Yes, yeah, because it was by Take-Two?
Telltale
Games?
Telltale Games.
I'm like, what is it even called anymore? Because it's dead for the most part.
But back, but not really.
Yeah. Because
they've done nothing.
Yeah, who knows. Anyway, I like them all. So you, once again, you get to be Guybrush Threepwood. I know there was some controversy around this game because of the art style, but at the same time, like, literally all of the games have looked very different. For the most part, like, you could say the first two are very similar because they're that pixel, like, a little bit pixel stuff. Like, obviously they look great, but they're still pixels, you know?
There's really not a whole lot you could do with that kind of limitation.
Yeah, and then the second one was all hand-drawn. Or, not second, third. I'm thinking, geez. Anyway, third one was all hand-drawn, which was pretty awesome. The next one was where they moved into 3D, which was their first foray, I guess, into it, which was like a PC. I know I have it on the PlayStation 2. And it was okay. Like, I could say out of all the Monkey Islands, that's probably the one I've played the least, and maybe it's my least favorite, but I still like it. I played a lot of the Tale of Tales Monkey Island. I really enjoyed it. It was obviously, it's just more polished 3D stuff, and then this one is sort of a, I don't know how to explain it. It's very, it's cartoony. I really don't know. Like, there's parts of it that feel similar to how the remastered ones look, sort of. But it's just sort of like, it was fun. Like, I think they just had fun with this one in a lot of ways. Like, there's a lot of, I want to say, references, or I'll say fan service things, which is, like, it's Monkey Island. Like, what kind of fan service can you get from Monkey Island? But there's, like, a loom joke that is in the first Monkey Island, and they bring it back for this Monkey Island.
Okay, yeah.
And, yeah, there's just, like, there's...
Was there a chicken on a pulley situation?
There wasn't. And potentially, I just missed that dialogue because obviously there's things that I can, you know, get Guybrush to talk. Oh, yeah. Main character of this is called Guybrush Threepwood. I guess I've just talked about how I like Monkey Island. Monkey Island is about Guybrush Threepwood. He is, in the first games, he wants to become a pirate. He's a little, kind of a little nerd. He's kind of a little boy.
He's the Will Turner of this universe.
A little I hate bit. Saying that. He is, but he's also like, he's not, he's a little bit not clever. Like, he is clever, but he's also not
savvy.
Yeah, for a pirate. Like, he's not, but, you know, he in the way that most people think pirates are. Anyways, he's special, and I do quite enjoy Guybrush Threepwood. Anyway, he falls in love with the mayor of Malay Island, Governor Elaine Marley. Wait, mayor? The governor of, oh my gosh, she's the governor.
Not, she does basically.
I don't even know if they have a mayor. I feel there's another series, or one of the other ones where they have to talk about a mayor. Anyway, and then there's a ghost pirate named LeChuck, who wants also to marry Elaine, but Elaine, and then he kidnaps her, and Guybrush saves her, and basically, it's sort of what happens for most of it. Elaine is very self-sufficient, though. Like, she usually doesn't get kidnapped. In the third game, it's literally just Guybrush curses her by accident.
Way to go, Guybrush.
Yeah, which is too bad, because Elaine is also a part of the game I really enjoy. Like, she's very funny. She's very sassy. She is, like, the straight man to, like, Guybrush's wacky, wild...
comedy lead.
Yeah, which is fun. Like, it's very... This game is very funny. Like, these are people who wrote the original Monkey Island, went on to do, like, Psychonauts and stuff, Grim Fandango. Funny things. Things that I think are genuinely, like, have decent writing. Yeah, so in this game, basically, you are Guybrush, and you're sort of retelling your story to your son. His name is Boybrush.
Oh, no, that's yeah, not good.
It was very funny. I actually, like, it did trick me, because I definitely thought, like, I maybe won't give away the beginning for other people, but I definitely thought there was going to be a different story right at the beginning, because it does set it up for something similar to how the second game ends, which is neat. But they totally changed it around. But Guybrush is telling the story to his son about how he finally found the secret of Monkey Island, because he never actually did that in the game called Secret of Monkey Island.
That's so good.
Yeah, no, so, like, that's sort of the basis of the story, right?
Is it spoiler if I ask if he ever did actually find...
Here's the thing, you can, in the end, there's two options where you can find it or you can't find it. Or you don't, or you just don't care about it. And, yeah, like, I liked how it ended. It was very, it's very on the nose. I enjoyed it. Voice acting's fun. We got to see characters, like, old characters that I like, especially Stan. Stan is in jail, and he still has that sort of, like, the Stan in the game is a salesman, and one of the cool things about him is he's, like, very animated, but his suit is always, it's, like, one texture, and it just sort of, as he moves, like, it moves sort of thing.
Like a green screen texture.
Exactly. So it's pretty great. And they continue this. Obviously, he, at this point, he is in jail because Stan is, he's a pretty big fraudster. Like, he fraud, he, yeah, he doesn't, he... He's a little, in every game, he sort of finds a new sort of thing to do. So at this point, you're sort of like, wow, it finally caught up with Stan.
Did it actually finally catch up with him?
A little bit. He thinks he's only going to be in there for a month, though. And technically wow. He is. Until it's very funny because lots of things would be okay if Guybrush didn't just show up and do stuff. Like, most people would be okay, but honestly, a lot of things that he does are the reason that other things happen.
He's a walking disaster.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Which is pretty, like, that's, yeah. Which is, and he wants to be a pirate. And he's very, he's a very pleasant guy as well. Like, he's not very, like, he'll argue with people, but he's usually kind of silly about it. Or,
yeah.
So, yeah. Like, Guybrush is a character that I've always enjoyed. And, yeah, got the same voice, that they've had since the third game, so.
When it started first getting voiced?
Yeah. No, I think, I don't know if the same voice for LeChuck. I'm not going to lie. I don't know about that. But definitely same voice for Elaine. Like, at one point, in Monkey Island 4, we'll just call it that. Elaine was voiced by a different voice actor. Which was all right. Like, at this point, we only had one other game where it was voiced, right? Where she was voiced.
Right.
So, but then in the fifth game, they switched back to the third game voice actor, which, once again, is fine, and they've been consistent throughout now. So that's the fourth game is now the only one out, because they have remastered the first two and voice acted all of them as well.
Okay, I was looking at the voice actors for LeChuck, and yes, the original voice, Earl Bone, retired from voice acting in 2017 and gave it to Jess Harnell.
Yeah, I was like, I'm pretty sure it's not the same. I was like, that doesn't look like the same, but the person who has currently been doing LeChuck is doing a great job. Sounds like LeChuck. LeChuck is, he's a dread pirate, he's a ghost pirate, he's a little gross. Once again, this game is all very tongue-in-cheek. It's very silly. Like, every character isn't necessarily meant to be taken seriously. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I played the extra hard mode with, like, well, it wasn't extra, but there's a casual mode for, like, less difficult puzzles, and then there was a hardcore mode for, I would assume that's just sort of the regular mode, in a way. I don't know. It was fine. I enjoyed it regardless. Like, I would say choose whichever you want. I don't think it will change that much, to be honest. Yeah. But I liked it a lot.
That's everything we got for you for this week on Game Changers.
Yeah.
We did lots this week, I guess.
Yeah.
But we'll come back to you next week with more stuff to talk about, and keep changing.
Bye.